My name is Jorge Meneses. I am the president, the current president of the ERI San Diego chapter. On behalf of our chapter, I would like to welcome all each of you for attending this workshop today. We understand that this is a Saturday, and we appreciate very, very much that you are giving us your free time to come to this event, to this workshop. I would like also to, before starting, acknowledge the hard work of many people, several people organizing this event, starting with our Vice President, Professor Lely van den Nijn from UCSD, and also Tang Chao, our current Secretary Treasurer, Diane Marbach, Alvaro Celestino, who else? Well, several people who were working on this organization of this event almost on a daily basis in the last few weeks.
Michelle.
And also weekly basis, Michelle Chang, PhD candidate here at UCSD. And thank you very much to all of them for organizing this, this event. So, the idea of having this scenario updated, and I think at this point all of you may know about this scenario, well, because this was developed 20 years ago. One of the missions of ERI is to raise awareness about earthquake risk, is to educate people about earthquake risk and to have people prepared. We are not talking about the professional community, we are talking about the general population. And this is one of the challenges of ERI as an organization, that we want to outreach the people, the common people, the common citizen, and make them aware that, okay, San Diego is a beautiful city, very nice, etc. But the same forces, geological forces that generated that very nice and beautiful landscape can create earthquakes in our region. So we want them to be aware of this, that not only the San Andreas exists in California, but also we have our own faults here in San Diego region, and we have to be aware of that. Whatever happens to San Diego in a catastrophe or disaster or a strong earthquake will affect Tijuana. And whatever happens to Tijuana in terms of disaster, natural disaster, will affect San Diego. We are more interconnected and more interdependent than we are aware of. A recent study done by UCSD demonstrated that millions of dollars of state just because of this interdependence. So if we are planning to, and also the developers of this scenario were aware of this. So that's why this scenario was not developed only for San Diego. This scenario was developed for San Diego, Tijuana. So this is the same thing, the same approach that we are trying to do this time. We want to do a scenario that can affect both regions, both cities. So this is one of the particularities of San Diego. We are a border city, and we are very interconnected with whatever happens south of the border. I can continue talking forever, but I prefer to leave Heidi, the representative of ERI headquarters, who also will give some introductory remarks.
Hi there, everyone. My name is Heidi Tremaine. I am a program manager at the Earthquake Engineering Research Institute. And I was asked here today on behalf of ERI National Organization to welcome you all here today and kind of help you launch your initiative for the San Diego Tijuana region. So first off, I wanted to start just for those who are not aware who EERI is. It's the Earthquake Engineering Research Institute. We're a technical membership society that's also nonprofit. We have a variety of we're a national organization based in the United States, but we have many international members as well. And the projects that we conduct and our membership has a broad distribution in the earthquake engineering risk community and risk reduction community, and then as well, both in the United States as well as abroad. Our mission is listed there to advance the science of practice for earthquake engineering, improve understanding of the impacts of earthquakes, and advance comprehensive and realistic measures for reducing earthquake effects. We have over in the handouts there were some booklets there that tell you a lot about ERI. So for those who are not familiar with our membership and our organization, that booklet, the white one with the white cover, talks about a lot of the initiatives that have been taken under by ERI in the last year, a little bit more than that. So it gives you a sense and a flavor of what we're all about. Members are we're a multidisciplinary society, so it's really important that we have a diversity like we have in the audience here today at ERI. So from engineers to scientists, geoscientists, architects, planners, public officials as well, we like our membership to be diverse because we feel that we need that diversity to accomplish problems. And I think the scenario effort is one of those that really relies on that multidisciplinary aspect to be successful. Our members work in many different fields. Some are academics, some are practitioners. So we have a variety, big diversity in what we do. And the way that we accomplish our mission is by organizing members like the people in this room, by utilizing our regional chapters, which Jorge is the president of the San Diego regional chapter. We have student chapters, including one here at UC San Diego, and many other places. So we rely on our members to get excited about something, passionate about some area that they feel that they can make an impact and actually do that through programs like this initiative. And so I was asked here today also to talk about ERI's history in conducting earthquake scenarios. So as you can see here in the definition, ERI's that scenarios help is a planning tool. So it's a tool that often results in some sort of document like Jorge was showing, but it helps a community understand earthquakes and really plan for the future in telling the story of a possible earthquake scenario, a possible earthquake, and what the impacts would be and what the losses would be. By using that in something that's relatable, an actual scenario, it is very useful for decision makers to better understand what we mean from a scientific perspective. The scientific community often speaks in our scientific terminology, but having something that translates that to many stakeholders and many users and many people who will be impacted is very powerful and important. So ERI has been doing this for many years, working in scenarios, and kind of I've highlighted four of them that, over the last 15 years that have been conducted by ERI members, mostly at a regional chapter level. So the Northern California chapter has conducted several scenarios. There's one of the more recent ones was conducted up in Seattle and Washington, and Dave Swanson is here, and he's going to tell us a lot about that today. Diane also has a whole bunch of slides that talk through various scenarios that have been conducted at ERI and at other places by other organizations and groups as well. And then we have a website that ERI, on the ERI website, there's a page that kind of gives you insight into some of the ERI scenarios. But we also have a link here to the NEHERPscenario.org. And that was a website that ERI was contracted with the NEHERP, National Earthquake Hazards Reduction Program, to do a how-to on how to conduct a scenario. So it has a whole bunch of tools. There's a handout in your folder as well that talks about some the beginning steps, how to organize a scenario, and give some best practices. And it was a whole group of members who had done scenarios that came together and gave a lot of guidance there. So there are some videos on there that various members talk about their experience doing a scenario. So it's a good resource for everyone to think about and gives kind of helps give you some a good head start from the experience of many ERI members. I was also asked to talk about how, when ERI has conducted scenarios in the past, what are the possible funding that's been necessary and what are the possible sources of that funding? And so the kind of the list I have here kind of is a good interpretation of the types of resources needed. And really depending on how they go, how much is donated, how much time, and how many resources, there are possibilities to make the number anywhere in the range I have there or less. And this was I included here at the very beginning tells the scope, the type of project that we're going to be working on. So from meeting venues and food costs, honorariums possibly for someone to lead it, maybe interns or students, various of the scenarios I've done, that one in Northern California, the Hayward Fault scenario, they relied on the intern, which was paid an honorarium, a student kind of hourly rate. Other groups, we believe Seattle conducted a hazard specialist and actually paid someone to conduct a hazard run. So Dave might be able to give us a little sense about what that was and what that cost. And we've heard from several groups the importance, and particularly in Seattle, of having a science writer and a graphic designer. So in the end, to take the document and take the scientific content and translate it in a way that's very easily readable by members of the public and the decision makers that we're trying to reach, and how that's such a critical element there. So I've included some costs for that. Printing and distribution of the scenario document. Once you spend all the time on the document, if you want to make sure that you get printed handouts into the hands of a lot of the stakeholders, that was very successful in Seattle and other areas. And actually, that is a big percentage of the cost of this. The overall budget here is actually the physical hard copy print. So we can get a discount. Some groups have reached out in government and managed to get government sponsorship, and they get a government rate that might save a lot of money and reduce the amount total amount here. And final, some travel for members to share what you've learned, for various members and representatives. There's just a scenario to reach out and share with others. So there's kind of a small amount of budget I put in there. And so that gets you in the $40,000 to $50,000 range, and just something to think about as you move forward today. All this does, though, assume that the bulk of the time to assemble the scientific information, interpret, people to attend meetings and discuss this, all of that is volunteer time, either volunteer time completely or that's paid by the organization where the person is employed. So if we took into account that time, the number would be drastically more. Possible funding sources, there's actually a huge range that various scenarios that ERI has conducted have acquired money. So some from federal agencies, we've had some grants from USGS, FEMA is a possibility. Various state groups have, Office of Emergency Services have put in money for various efforts. Region or county seems like a real opportunity, particularly down here, that maybe there's some way to leverage the local resources. They're the people who are going to be most impacted, and that might be an area that various groups could kind of pitch in and donate some money together. Local governments, private industry, getting in-kind or financial sponsorship of various things. Meeting costs can often be offset by firms if they hosted and things like that, so there's some options there. And then individual stakeholders or other stakeholders not mentioned. So that's really what I was asked to address here, but I just want to say it's very heartening for someone, I'm based up in Northern California, to come down here and see how many people were willing to spend their time on a Saturday. And I hope this enthusiasm continues through the project. And ERI, the staff, we're a very small staff, only 8 of us up at the office, but we are willing to do anything that we can to help you out and make some progress. And I also want to thank Davide Martinelli. He's our intern. And so he's also here to help. So whatever you guys need, let us know and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. Thank you, Heidi. Now we are going to have Luis Mendoza, representing CISESTE from Mexico. And Roberto is going to be the interpreter.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Voy a pedir a Roberto me ayude porque tengo 11 años que no regreso a Estados Unidos y ya mi inglés está un poco.
Kind of be helping Luis because he hasn't been in the United States for 11 years, so his English is a little bit broken, so might as well I try to translate what he's saying.
Venimos de parte de México, de la ciudad de Tijuana, Mexicali, Ensenada, y queremos compartir con ustedes las experiencias que hemos tenido al sur de la frontera.
We're coming from Tijuana, Ensenada, Mexico, and Mexicali also people. And we're here to share with you the experiences that we had in a similar scenario or earthquake.
Hace 17 años en Tijuana iniciamos un proyecto cuyo lema es por una ciudad sísmicamente segura.
17 years ago we started a project in Tijuana that's for seismic planning, and the model for that project is what was it?
Es el grupo Radius Tijuana. Y está formado por instituciones de gobierno, académicos, colegios y ciudadanos en general.
A group is actually formed by institutions, people, citizens, also institutions not just educational, but also governmental. So they encompass a lot of public agencies.
Este grupo hemos hablado 17 años reunido cada mes. Sin falta, segundo martes, hemos sobrevivido a 6 alcaldes de Tijuana.
This group has been reuniting for the last 17 years, once a month every Tuesday, and they've actually surpassed 6 6 governors, major.
Así que hemos tenido experiencia en ese sentido.
So it's good because they've actually gone through years and have gotten a lot of years for this.
Quisiera compartir con ustedes la experiencia de Mexicali de 2010, que tuve la gran fortuna de ser llamado por el señor gobernador y estar ahí por lo largo de 3-4 meses reunido diariamente con su equipo de trabajo.
One of the biggest experiences that he wants to share is the Mexicali, the 2010 earthquake. He was there, he was called upon by the government of Baja California, and he was there for 3 to 4 months analyzing this earthquake.
Así que me tocó conocer cómo el gobierno, los problemas que tuvo y los problemas que tuvieron que sortear para reconstruir la ciudad, además de que el sismo pues, fue benévolo en el sentido del nivel de ocurrencia y del sitio donde inició.
The good experience that he had for 3 or 4 months, he got to see and live what the government had to go over to rebuild Mexicali, because that was a big earthquake, not just because of the magnitude of the earthquake, but also because of the location where it was in a major city.
Así que tenemos, yo creo que ya de parte del gobierno del estado una buena awareness, una buena. Así que tenemos que aprovecharla, ¿no? Y aprovechar los 17 años de este grupo de trabajo.
So thanks to that and those three or four months and that earthquake, I think he has a good grasp of what it has to be done and what the government goes through in an earthquake scenario. So he feels like we have to take advantage of that experience that Baja California government has gotten from that past 2010 earthquake.
Al finalizar la reconstrucción de Mexicali, tomé mi año sabático y lo que hice fue salir, ahora sí que ir a las comunidades, colonias, valle, y vi que ahí hay mucho trabajo todavía por hacer. Además de estar ahora en el cubículo estudiando, también hay que salir y ver las necesidades de todas las personas, la gran mayoría de los ciudadanos.
After those 4 months, he actually took a sabbatical for a year. He went out there and not just stayed and went on vacation, but he also went out there and saw the city and saw those communities that needed to be rebuilt. So it's not just a matter of getting analyzing and sitting at the desk and running some numbers. It's also about going out there and seeing what the actual situation is of the community.
Y finalmente decirles que sí tenemos desarrollado trabajo de academia, de colegios, de mejoras en los reglamentos, y sí podemos tener información para compartir. Acabamos de terminar un trabajo que todos los mapas del sur de California, de aceleraciones, ya llegan hasta medio estado de Baja California.
Okay, so just to finish it up, I mean, he does want to share that we do have a lot of analysis done, a lot of analysis done in Baja California, and see, we have to share that with you and in this scenario. And I mean, currently there's a whole seismic scenario, or not seismic scenario, but seismic map of Baja California, and it goes all the way from Tijuana all the way to the center of the whole peninsula. So there's a lot of information to be shared with.
Y finalmente agradecer a todos los colegas de Tijuana, de México, que están aquí y que sabemos que tenemos mucho que hacer por nuestra comunidad al sur y que seguramente vamos a estar atentos a colaborar, y agradecer a ustedes la invitación. Un sueño de años de hacer escenarios, ahora sí, nacionales, ya no solo sísmicos, sino ahora de daños también.
So, to finish it up, he wanted to thank the people that came from Mexico, because it is a long trip for a lot of them. And we have a lot of work to do, not just in this planning, but also in the community. But also, we want to thank you for the opportunity of not just doing a binational, just seismic magnitude analysis, but also a planning of what the city needs to go through in a response to any seismic event. So, thank you.
Thank you very much.
With the chair of the Department of Structural Engineering here at UCSD.
Hi, good morning. As Jorge said, I am Enrique Luco. I am the chair of the Department of Structural Engineering here at UCSD, and I am afraid that you will need translators in Spanish and English to understand me. But I would like to welcome all of you, and especially our colleagues from Mexico, to this very important workshop. In our corner of California, we enjoy not only an excellent climate, but also a slightly lower seismicity than some regions to the north and east of us. Still, we should not tempt fate and not be prepared for an eventual earthquake. I am very grateful to ERI for organizing this workshop, and in particular to Jorge Jimenez and Lely van den Eynde for leading this effort. As chair of the department, I have to use this opportunity to tell you a little bit about our Department of Structural Engineering. And the reason for that is that this may be a resource for this effort. In our Department of Structural Engineering, we have a vision that is somewhat different from what's typical in civil engineering departments. Our Department of Structural Engineering concentrates on structures. We do not work on water resources, we do not work on transportation and so on. We just focus on the structures. But we understand structures in a more general sense, not only civil structures, but also geotechnical structures, aerospace structures, marine structures, even bioengineering or structures. So we have incredible resources in terms of faculty, students, and facilities. We have about 700 undergraduate students majoring in structural engineering. We have 100 master degree students and 65 PhD students. And we have about 24 faculty in our department. The experimental facilities are really unmatched in the U.S., I would say. In particular, we have the shape table, which is the largest in the U.S., and it's the second largest in the world, where you can simulate very strong ground motions. And if you have a chance to walk around the building, you will see many of the research labs in here. Enough for the commercial. So I am convinced that you will have an extremely useful and productive workshop, and I would like to thank you.